Adulting is a roller coaster of really high highs, low lows, and everything in between. If you are in the thick of this ride and changing your mind every 2 seconds about whether you are enjoying it or not, you're in the right place. Every 2 weeks, join the Adulting Out Loud hosts as we talk through our experiences as certified adults, offering each other encouragement, inspiration, and a good laugh. We hope to leave you feeling refreshed and ready to face everything adulting has in store for you. Thanks for listening. Hi guys, welcome to another episode of the Adulting Out Loud podcast. I'm your host, Yunia, and I'm joined as usual by my co-host, Yvonne. Hi, Yvonne.
Hi.
And Carol. How are you, Carol?
I'm doing well, Yunia. Thanks.
That's good to hear. I'm excited about today's topic. I think it's one that everyone should listen to this episode, at least everyone who is in the thick of adulting. And today we're talking about workplace politics. A huge chunk of our lives is spent at the workplace. This is why I think this topic is important, because we give so much of ourselves, so much of our time at the workplace. And if you have worked for any amount of time, I'm sure you have found that one of the hardest things to navigate is workplace politics. Sometimes when you're not working, you might think that the hardest part is getting a job. But when you're at the job, sometimes you feel like the hardest part is keeping that job.
And keeping it.
Yes, mm-hmm. Keeping that job. So ladies, what do you define as workplace politics?
Wow, workplace politics. Really, I think just like any political activity, it's mostly associated with how people make influence in the workplace, or their ideas had, decisions, and all these are related to like some kind of power or wanting to be visible or seen. And since in the workplace we have all kinds of people, we all play out differently. And yeah, it can take the extreme. It can turn out to be so bad, yet at the same time, it turns out to be good. So really, I would define workplace politics as like activities that are associated with making decisions, choices, like how people behave in the workplace to be heard or to have influence or to share their ideas and reach their goals, so to say. Because when everyone gets a job, as Yunia mentioned, you have to keep that job. And that means doing your job well. And it involves a lot, trying to push your ideas, being visible. So all activities that revolve around that. Yeah,
I agree. It's about authority, using power or pursuing power and authority to drive an agenda. And it can, the agenda you're driving can sometimes be personal or organizational. At least that's what I've seen. Sometimes exactly. At the workplace, what is trying to be pushed is not organization, it's someone's personal agenda. Yeah, sometimes it's an organizational thing. Yvonne, what do you think?
Yes, it's actually just, in my own opinion, it's a game. Most of the times, actually, it's a game.
That's
because
right.
Of that aspect of it being personal rather than organizational. Mm-hmm. So it's a survival game. It's a growth game. Things you just have to do to ensure you stay, or things you have to do to ensure you grow up, you go up the ladder.
Mm-hmm. So do you think it's necessary?
Of course, it's necessary. What would life be without politics at the workplace?
I think it's unavoidable also. So it makes it like something you have to deal with. It's necessary. Yeah.
Imagine me, I think first of all, it doesn't have to always be negative. Is what I learned.
I always
used to look at it as a negative thing, but now when it turns negative, then I'm just like, is this really necessary, honestly?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think knowing that it's not always negative maybe helps you look at it in a healthier way.
Different perspective.
Yes,
yeah.
And then realizing that, yeah, it's actually necessary. If you're going to keep that job and stay at that job, what are some of the ways that you girls think then that someone can navigate workplace politics and come out at the top, come out thriving?
every workplace, even someone's small business, has some kind of politics in it. So you have to know how to navigate that. So I think for me, the bottom line is to initially know the environment that you're in, learn what are the things that are influencing that environment, know much about the culture, the people, and just observing when you get to a new workplace or whatever work environment you find yourself in, being observant, asking questions, trying to understand people, because each of those people is wanting to keep their job and they're all doing their best. But then at some point, there's going to be friction. So I think learning your environment, understanding the people is really key. Just asking questions to know who would be a good ally or who can you work with and how. I think that is really key, because in whatever role you're in, you would need to deliver results. So you need to know, who do I work with and how do I get my ideas heard? And if you're at an organizational level, you still have to know, how do I maintain our influence and our power in this industry? So it's really so much initially about understanding and learning the environment you're working in, but also your workplace, and knowing yourself as well. So self-awareness comes in handy, because then you'll know how to navigate this politics, because it's very tricky and you don't want to take sides, but to remain neutral and professional, which is very hard to do in the work environment. But I think that's a good trait to have. And yeah, it always helps to be neutral and to remain professional.
I actually think that should be in a manual or something, what you've just said. Yeah. Because yeah, it's quite true. But unfortunately, you know, when one gets into any workplace, especially during your first work, nobody tells you this. You're just trying to be a mini perfect person, doing whatever everyone tells you, trying not to step on anyone's toes. And in the process, even when you're trying to make friends, you make friends with the wrong people. That aspect of every company having a culture, we never get to hear that a lot. And we assume that, you know, the old book, what your parents tell you, when you go there, make sure you work hard, listen to your boss, do everything they tell you. You know, and that's what you go in with thinking. Every job, that's what they need. And sometimes, you know, you get labeled the wrong way, but you're just trying to be perfect. That should be in a manual, actually. Yeah.
It really should. I think for me, another thing that I would say, can help someone navigate workplace politics is, Carol touched on it, to know your workplace policies. So when you start work, you, of course, you're given a handbook with all these things, policies, I don't know, structure and what. We don't read that stuff.
True.
It's just
really?
Yes, really.
And here we are assuming people read. We want to assume that people read, but these things are necessary.
Yes.
They are the rules of the game.
Exactly. Really. Actually, I like Yvonne's definition. It's a game, and those are the rules of the game. But we don't read them.
Exactly.
Because when we start, we think it's just rainbows and unicorns, until when we hit a hard patch and we're like, oh, where are those policies? Where are those policies? And we start reading and finding out, so what can I do? How can I navigate this issue? Who do I reach out to? Who in my structure do I go to? Okay, structure. I think structure we read.
Exactly.
Structure we read, because we need to know, who am I reporting to? Who is that person reporting to? Yeah. And all that. That one we read. But these other things. So I think just know your policy. Know the policies of that workplace. Read, understand. Okay. Because like Carol has said, those are the rules of the game. And when you understand, you know, you know how to play it. Some workplaces don't have policies. And if you're joining if you're joining another place that does not have policies, that's a red flag. So just know you're going to be in a jungle. Like, it's going to be hard.
Everything goes. Let me tell you, whether we like it or not, every workplace has this one person that people respect. So you getting to the good side of this person that people respect is a good thing. Whether we like it or not, maybe I got to learn that the hard way because I have worked also in a political setting, you know. So for us, it's politics within a political setting. So it actually can get ugly.
Yes.
And you want to be in the good books of whoever who's the political decision maker. That even if things get so, or, you know, people say whatever they say, this person knows the real you. This person knows you from the beginning. They know your work ethic. They know. So even if people talk, they will get to know. I mean, or the person will get to know, this is just politics. This is not the real Yvonne. This is not the real Carol. And of course, it takes time. It gets it takes what Carol was saying. You have to read people, understand them. It takes time. And then I think the other thing for me, that even as you're doing that, you just have to take your A game there when it comes to work ethic. You must, one of my... I call him my mentor these days because he's helped me navigate a lot while at work, while at my workplace. And one of the things he keeps telling me, Yvonne, you must be at the top of your game when it comes to your field. Nobody in that institution can know better than you. When it comes to environmental issues, nobody should be able to know anything more than I do. Like, I should be the go-to person. Like, when they want to talk about environment, they know, don't talk to anybody else, just go straight to Yvonne. Because the minute anybody else knows your work better than you, then, the word is become indispensable.
You're there to work. And so, when you understand your team, as Yvonne said, get to know your job very well, and know your team, know the people in your hierarchy or in your organization, people of influence, because we all have aspects of our job that need to be executed through, you know, we execute our work through a team, but you need to be keen to know who actually has a voice, who is a leader in this field. So if I'm to get my work done, how will it be visible? How will I get more things done? How will I be successful at my job? So you have to know who is, again, your ally, but do your work very well. And the only way to do that is to remain on top of your game. Like, don't compromise your work, remain professional, and do your job well. And that is hard, because when people join the workplace, they just... yeah, they are just hardworking. They do their work. I mean, they're doing their work. But then you have to be smart in the way you're doing your work so that you, as Yvonne said, your results are visible to people, that you are an authority in whatever we've given you as your job to do. And that can't happen if you aren't playing the game very well, if you're not playing your politics well, to know who to engage with, who to ask, if you need to close a report or you want it to be reviewed and cleared, who do you talk to? Like, you have to talk to people that really so to say matter. Like, everyone matters, but there are people that have a voice. So I think people have to know all these things in the workplace. And it's interesting because office politics is sometimes good, but it's also the cause of a lot of workplace conflict, and it's one of the top reasons why people leave, because they get so stressed and leave the workplace because they just can't deal with the pressure of having to be on your toes and to do the job well and to navigate the environment with all these different kinds of people. So unfortunately, people leave. And
I think for me, that's me, Carol. Like, I'm just like, so now I have two jobs. I have the one that they gave me, the JD that they gave me, you know, do this. And then I have this other one of making sure I'm people pleasing. Like, why? No, I think I struggle with that bit that you girls have talked about of making sure you're on the good side of the decision maker, that, you know, the movers and shakers. But what if I'm not? I don't know, for one reason or another. Or what if I feel like they are not fair? Or I don't like how they work? Or they're actually not fair and they use underhand methods and it won't be in my good conscience for me to to, you know, I don't know. Like, I'm just like, there are so many things around that. So what then do I do?
That's what I wanted to mention. Most of the time, the movers and shakers are not your immediate boss or the boss after that. It's like somebody off your line, your reporting line. Sometimes it's quite at the very top. Or, you know, another line, another department, somebody there. It doesn't have to be your immediate. And sometimes it's even a junior, somebody who's in a position, somebody who's in a position lower than you, but somehow
at a low level.
Yes, but has the ear of the topmost. And you know why I keep saying most of the time it's somebody quite up there, because those are the people who own the organization and they have the organization at
heart. And they know it.
Yes, for them it's not about who, it's about the company.
Mm-hmm. So that's like let's say, what example can I give? Kara's given, maybe if I want, I don't know,
my proposal
to be given ear.
Yes.
Like someone to, you know, listen to the idea I have, and I've written it down, I've, you know, put work into it, and now I want to be given audience to present it. So you're saying I go directly to this person, isn't that overstepping? And then now that just worsens my relationship with my boss.
Sometimes it's not even about the ideas, it's not about the new, it's about your day to day. For me, I actually believe with workplace politics, if you're the kind who believe in making allies like me, because I don't know how to defend myself, so I want to be with somebody who can defend me. You know, I'm not good at talking for myself. So it's about being, you know, as we were saying, just being exceptional in your day-to-day. And I know sometimes you're not given that opportunity, but if you have a wrong immediate supervisor, they won't give you the opportunity to shine. But let me tell you, that's why you take advantage of group meetings. It's in those staff meetings that you make sure your point is heard. It may not be accepted, but you know, people hear. That idea came from you near and it was rejected, yet it was a good idea. Mm-hmm. You know, they won't say it, but they've heard it. So when it matters, people will be like, no, that can't be Unia. Unia, the same girl who gave that idea, that was, you know, you take advantage of those group settings. But the other thing is this, sometimes, depending on, you know, if you're saying that majority of the people are just off, it pays to keep your head down. So it actually depends with the workplace. Sometimes the best way to survive is to keep your head low, like Barry.
That's right.
Yeah, that's funny, but you're right. It goes back down to know your work environment, like know what it's like. In some instances, you'll need to just bury your head. In some instances, you'll need to be the fighter. Eh, you guys, I feel tired.
And stay away from gossip.
Stay away from gossip
at work, because some workplaces have a lot of gossip and people. So, especially when you're new, because sometimes everyone wants to have you on their side, like you're new, so they are trying to influence you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that is where burying your head really helps, to just stay away from gossip and conversations that you know are extremely sensitive, especially if they are involving certain people in your team. And if you're talking things that you wouldn't say in those meetings, I think that is bad, because the same colleagues will use those things against you, and then it will escalate and it will just be a serious conflict. Or sometimes, even like, I know that some workplaces, documenting things is very key. Like, it really keeps you out of some politics that you'd avoid. So making sure you write, or like formalize something in an email or a discussion, even just as simple things as, who do I copy on emails involving this subject, or put on this correspondence, just things as simple as that, like, it just makes a whole difference, or like in helping you know your environment. So those are little things to pick up on, but they are key. Like, I before I didn't even know that not copying someone on an email can be such a big deal.
I also didn't know that, Caro. And it can actually cause so much beef. And I'm like, yes. I didn't know that you were supposed to be in that email. Going forward, you will be in the email. But I mean, or even copying some people, or you know how you can write an email and you write to the subordinates and copy in their boss, and then now it looks like you're reporting them. You know that
yes.
Thing. Yes. And I'm like,
that's
I'm
right. Reporting.
I'm just escalating, you're not working on just thing,
information. But I think that's why you have to understand.
I'm tired already just having to think about all those things. I'm like, guys.
And sometimes just check in with people before you, you know, send out an email to say, you know, I'm sending this to your boss and I'm copying you. Or she'll be like, oh no, I think don't copy my boss.
Sometimes it's not even just about emails. It's about those meetings. Like when you're going for a meeting, who do you carry along? You just don't go to a meeting by yourself.
Because you're not, it would be useless to have had that meeting.
True.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, so I think this is draining for some people, for sure.
It's draining
but Carol,
for me.
As you were saying, when it comes to avoiding gossip, sometimes I've used gossip to navigate. Yes. Especially if you come with gossip or a story comes and I get to connect where this story came from. It was through gossip and I was the subject. It will go back to sender through gossip. Trust me. So that you know I'm not that kind that you gossip about.
That's what that person wanted. So they spoke in the hearing of some people. You know, there's some people in the workplace who we all know won't keep quiet, right?
This person is
not going to keep quiet. So if I want to get an information to Yvonne and I can't face her and tell her, I'll just make sure I speak in the hearing of this person who I know will be itching to tell Yvonne at the end of this conversation.
Yes.
So now if Yvonne, you also respond, that's just...
I do. Let me tell you, I always do. And you know the most unfortunate thing? Every time it has happened that it's my boss who spoke about me in the presence of my juniors. And my juniors contributed. There were many. They even contributed to the story. So whoever who comes to tell me, tells me, even Nani said, then Nani said, then whoever said, and I go ahead. And in the process, I'll be like, hey, me, I wish somebody can go and tell them. 1, 2, 3. And I know they will run and go tell it exactly as I said it. And before I knew it, it actually died down.
All right, girls. We're going to wrap it up. But before we wrap it up, I would like to know what you've learned from your experience, from your time, the time that you've worked since you graduated and you started working. What are some of the things that you've learned that you carry with you to this day and that you think would be helpful? I think we know Yvonne's. Yvonne's is, if you're going to bring for me gossip through a person, I wish.
I think for me, maybe there are two, but the one thing is really, like, don't look down on yourself. I mean, you are competent, you are professional. So when you walk into a workplace, you walk in with your head high, knowing that you are actually there to make a contribution. And I think coming with that attitude or knowledge is really helpful. And when you combine that with a knowledge of your environment, you surely thrive. So I think for me, that has been the way. Otherwise, you can be undermined in a workplace. You can be put in a corner. So you really have, to be proud. You have to have an authority in whatever field you're in and know that I actually know what I am doing. I'll learn the environment and I'll make my contribution and share in the mission of whatever organization I'm working with. So I think that is really key for me. It has helped me so much.
Yes, Yvonne.
Forgive me, I'll give two things. Number one, of course, I'd stated it earlier, and it's not the gossip thing. Number one, be indispensable. You just have to be the best at what you do. You have to always bring your A game at the workplace when it comes to being the authority in your field. Then number two, and I think this is especially for ladies, never be afraid to speak about your accomplishments. Let your accomplishments be known out there. I think it's one way. It also marries into being indispensable. People must know, you know, you're indispensable because you helped us as an organization attain 1, 2, 3. You helped us avoid 1, 2, 3, and speak it out for yourself. Women always, more often than not, are afraid of letting people know their accomplishments. When somebody compliments you, like, oh yeah, it was group work. Oh, it was because of my team. No, it was because of you, mama.
You did.
Take in the compliments. Speak out and take in the compliments. Yeah.
I like that, Yvonne, because yeah, it's true. We at times feel shy to speak about what we have done, and yet someone else will not be shy to even steal what you've done and speak as if it's the ones who did it. Yeah, so there was no room for being shy and timid and modest. If you did it, you did it. So you're just speaking the truth. Mm. I think for me, it's to accept that most, if not all, workplaces have some level of politics. So I think you need to begin from there, to first accept, to not, because if you don't, then you will keep moving from job to job looking for the ideal place where you won't have to deal with some of these things, which is not there. It just looks different in different places, but most places, and I'm inclined to say all places, have some level of politics. Granted, some places are more toxic than others. Some places are mild. Some places it's just so intense, but it's there. It's there in all places. And the sooner you accept it, then the sooner you're able to settle and bring the your A game, like Yvonne talked about, and just work, do that job, be your best. So yeah, thank you for listening in, guys. Would like to know, what are some of the ways that you navigate workplace politics at your workplaces? Let us know. Would love to hear from you. Otherwise, thank you for listening. That's it from us today. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.